Welcome, everyone, to this Webster Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is troubleshooting of SID messaging engine fallover problems in clustering environments. The presenters are John C. Kalla and Ty Schreck. John C. has been working with IBM for more than 8 years. He started working in MQ Level 2 support in 2006. The last 3 years, he has focused on supporting the service integration bus and currently supports SID connections, EJBs, transaction, and batch component support. Ty has been working with IBM for nearly 20 years and has been with the support team for Service Integration Plus since the release of the product. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to John C.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. This is John C. Kalla from WebSphere Level 2 support team. Thank you very much for taking time and attending this presentation, troubleshooting of SID messaging engine failover problems in a clustered environment. This presentation is intended to be mid-level technical, and we hope audience has some basic knowledge of service integration bus and its functionality. Not only WebSphere application server customers use service integration bus component, but also other IBM stack products like WebSphere Business Process Manager, BPM, and formerly known as WebSphere Process Server, WPS, Enterprise Service Bus, WebSphere Process Gateway, Lotus Connections, WSRR, and other IBM products use this SID component internally. So this presentation applies to all of these products. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 2. Agenda. Instead of directly jumping into the main part of the presentation, which is a troubleshooting part, I would like to cover some important configuration steps while configuring SID in clustered environment, so that everyone from the audience comes from different levels and different areas will be on the same page before we enter into the main part of the troubleshooting part. This also helps audience to understand and expected behavior of messaging engine in a clustered environment before troubleshooting. Today's session covers these topics. What are the different possible SID configurations in clustered environment you can do according to your business needs and requirements? What are the pros and cons of each configuration? Importance of the core group policies in SID messaging clusters, and how this affects messaging engine functionality and behavior in clustered environment. We will cover some important steps in SID configurations while adding a cluster to the bus. What are the reasons for the messaging engine failover? Why and how the messaging engine failover to a different server in the cluster? Sometimes ME won't failover as it should, and we will discuss the troubleshooting of those messaging engine failover issues. Then we will summarize the highlights and followed by the question-answer session. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 3. Different possible SID configurations in clustered environment. When you add a cluster to a bus as a bus member, you can have variety of configuration options to choose, and you can control which servers the messaging engine can run on, and also the behavior of the messaging engine if a server is unavailable, And also, you can have more than one messaging engine for. You can also have more than one messaging engine for workload balancing, depends upon the policy, whatever you choose. These are the different policies available for SIP configurations in a clustered environment. The very first one is the high availability HA. In this policy, only one messaging engine is created in the entire cluster with failover. You can also configure failback option, and this is the optional. You have to specifically configure this failback option. This is the default policy. When you add a cluster to the bus, this policy creates, as I said, a single messaging engine in that entire cluster that can fail over to one or more alternative servers. High availability configuration ensures that there is always a messaging engine running in the cluster, so that the messages can always be processed. Applications can connect, process the messages to put or to get. And a new core group policy is automatically created whenever you add a cluster to the bus. Here, in this case also, this creates the default core group policy for that specific messaging engine. Each server in the cluster contains the messaging engine configuration, and it creates an instance of the messaging engine in each cluster member, so that whenever there is a JVM problem or something else is having the issue, if messaging engine hosting JVM has some issues and it's unable to run the messaging engine, then HA manager can fail over to any other next available JVM. This is how this works. So in this case, the message store, either file store or data store for this messaging engine, must be accessible by all the servers in the cluster. And the second option is scalability workload management. Multiple messaging engines are created, and one messaging engine is dedicated to each cluster member, and there is no failover in this scalability configuration. So each messaging engine has just one preferred server, and it cannot failover or failback. What that means is each ME is configured to run only on that specific dedicated server. The policy for these messaging engines are static. What that means is no failover occurs if there is something problem with that specific server. But this policy gives the ability to share the workload associated with the destination across the messaging engines. What happens is when you create any SIP destination in the bus, it creates, if you have multiple messaging engines in that cluster, it creates multiple partitions of that specific destination, and one destination partition assigned to each messaging engine. So application can connect directly to that bootstrap server where messaging engine is running, and send and receive the messages and message processing. So this gives the high throughput, and also this configuration gives the better performance as compared to the HA. And the third one is high availability with scalability. High availability plus scalability. In this policy, multiple messaging engines are created, and one messaging engine is dedicated to each cluster member, but you will have the option of failover here. This policy is the combination of the above high availability and scalability. You can also configure failback as an optional when the preferred server is available. These are the predefined messaging engine policy types, and 99% of our customers use one of these three predefined messaging policies. And there is one more we have, that one is the custom one. And this customers use this policy when other options like above HA scalability plus HA scalability option don't provide the messaging engine behavior what they require and don't meet their business needs. And use this custom policy if you are much familiar with creating messaging engines and configuring the messaging engine policy settings. When you use the custom message policy, you can create any number of messaging engines. If you have two JVM clusters, say you will be able to create 10 messaging engines if you want to have. But for each messaging engine, you must specify the behavior what you require, such as is it it should failover or failback and preferred server list and everything. That's it. And let's move on to next slide number 4. Slide number 4. High availability configuration with pros and cons. Now let's talk about each policy in a little bit details and what are the pros and cons of each SIP policy. The very first one is high availability configuration. If you configure your environment with a high availability policy, it creates you only one messaging engine in that cluster. By default, this messaging engine is able to start on any JVMs in that cluster. Depending upon how you configure the core groups, etc., and in that core groups, any preferred servers or any list like that, by default, ME starts on the first server in that cluster that starts. If you configure, in case, if you configure any preferred servers for that messaging engine policy, HA manager first check if there are any preferred servers are available to run this messaging engine. If preferred servers are available, ME starts on that JVM. If no preferred servers are available, then ME starts on the first available server, even though it's not in the preferred servers list. Messaging engine is able to fail over to any JVM in this cluster. You can also configure the failback to failback the messaging engine if preferred server is back and running. You need to specifically configure this failback option in the core group policy settings panel of that specific messaging engine. And these are the pros and cons of this high availability core group policy. The pros are the messaging engine is highly available. If the messaging engine or the server on which it runs fails or JVM is unable to run that messaging engine for any specific reason, HA manager immediately fail over that messaging engine to the other cluster member. You can set the preferred servers where you want to give the preference to some specific servers to run this messaging engine. For example, in some cases, you may have more resources in one particular JVM, like resources and more heap and more memory, etc., and you would like to run the messaging engine on that server as long as it is available. So this you make sure that you do this type of settings in the preferred servers list in the core group policy of this messaging engine. And you can set the ME failback criteria if the failback if the preferred server is back. And all messaging functionality is in one place for low traffic scenarios. And the last benefit is application is able to connect to any Bootstrap server to send or consume the messages. Not only this one, for any specific core group policies, application can able to bootstrap to any server in that cluster. And coming to the cons, if you set the preferred servers only option in the core group panel for this messaging me policy, then if no preferred server is available, then ME won't start. So when you configure this option, preferred servers only, please make sure that there is always a preferred server standby instances available for failover if active messaging engine where the messaging engine is running have any failure and need to failover. So make sure that you always have one standby instance of JVM which has in the preferred servers list. If you choose to run the messaging engine in the preferred servers only setting. If you set, this is one, just now I described the second one. And the third one is no workload management option, because we have only one messaging engine. So only this single messaging engine has to handle all messaging functions in that cluster, and workload cannot be shared because there are not many messaging engines, only one in this configuration. Let's move on to next to slide number 5. Okay. This is the continuation of the high availability. These are the screenshot I took while configuring the high availability configuration. This is the top screen gives, if you check the enable messaging engine policy assistance, the high availability is the default one. And once you add the cluster to the bus, this is the screenshot of a configuration you would expect to see. So here I have added three JVMs cluster to the bus and choose the default policy, which is the high availability. It's better to have cluster JVMs on different nodes, as mentioned in this figure, for better availability. For example, if you have all three servers in one node, and if something happens to that node, then we don't have any servers to run the messaging engine. So it's always better to have servers on different nodes for this type of messaging engine configurations. So here one instance on each node. So each server in that cluster contain, when you add this one, use this configuration, one instance of each JVM will contain an instance of the messaging engine. So that, and each JVM has the configuration of that messaging engine, and each JVM has an instance. But at any particular time, messaging engine runs in only one JVM, and in the other JVMs, the state of the messaging engine is in a joint state. If something happens to the JVM where messaging engine is running and it need to fail over, the standby instance immediately can take over and process the messaging, continue the messaging functionalities. In this HA policy, as I told you, by default, messaging engine is not set to failback. If the preferred server is available, if you need this behavior, you need to explicitly configure this failback option in the core group policy settings of this messaging engine. Let's move on to next slide number 6. When a server, this is what just now we discussed, when a server in the hosting messaging engine failover, the messaging engine is failover to the other server. And in case of, if the messaging engine is configured to failover to any of the application servers in the cluster, So all of the application servers in the clusters, in the specific cluster, are added to the preferred servers list. And then this list determines in what specific order these servers are used in case of a failover scenario. The earlier the server in the preferred servers list, the stronger the preference for that server to run the messaging engine. So here in this case, it lists as server 1, server 2, and server 3. You may come across any question like on what basis, on what sequence these servers are listed in the preferred servers list, because whatever is the first on the top, that gives more weightage for the failover option. And this list is chosen based on the lexicographically lowest named server from the available core group members. So here the server 1 is the lowest lexicographically name as compared to the server 2 and server 3. That's why the server 1 is on the top position and then followed by server 2 and then server 3. And here I would like to tell one more thing on the naming convention of the messaging engine. So here the name is followed by the cluster name, whatever is the ABC cluster. And then for the here in high availability, we have only one messaging engine. So it starts with the sequence of 000 and then followed by the bus name. And whatever just I explained just now, the preferred servers list and failover preference, this takes as this list server 1 first if ME is running on server 1, and if it JVM fails or ME fails to run on that one, it will fail it HA manager first check for the server 2 for its availability. If it is available, then ME failover to server 2. If server 2 is not available, then HA manager check for the availability of the server 3. If server 2 is up and running, it won't fail over the messaging engine to server 3. This is the normal working scenario and how the failover happens in any failover. Next slide number 7. So far we have done with the high availability. Now scalability configuration and its pros and cons. Here in this configuration, one messaging engine is created for each JVM in the cluster, and by default in this configuration the messaging engines cannot fail over. The core group policy is static. We will discuss that one in the later slides. In the scalability policy ensures that there is a messaging engine for each server in the cluster. If you add more servers to the cluster, it will keep on adding the messaging engines for those in those JVMs. So based on this one, if you have multiple, for example, 5 JVMs in the cluster, it creates 5 messaging engines. So because each server has its own JVM, and this will increase the application can send or receive the messages very fast, and this will give the better performance and good response back to the application. But the only thing is each messaging engine can run only on that dedicated server it assigned to, and it cannot fail over to the another server. These are the pros of this scalability policy. One messaging engine is dedicated to one server in the cluster, and destinations are partitions across the messaging engines. So whenever you create a SIP destination in that bus, that gives each destination partition for each messaging engine. So application connect to any messaging engine, it will be very fast that one because of the local messaging engine. It improves the better performance and the better accessibility to the application because of the local messaging engine. And these are the cons of this configuration is because the application sends messages to the different messaging engines, so message order is no longer guaranteed due to the workload because of the many messaging engines and many partitions of the SIP destination. And the workload, because of this one, the message order is not guaranteed. And the one other negative one of this one is default scalability option don't provide the failover of the messaging engine. If JVM is down, that messaging engine is down until its JVM is up and running again. Next slide, slide number 8. This is the continuation of the graphical representation of the scalability. Here I choose the scalability, and once you added the cluster to the bus, this is what you get, this type of configuration. This is a very good graphical way. Here we have, I have added three servers cluster to the bus, and it created three MEs, one per each server. And this, if you see in the left side, blue cluster 000, that is dedicated to server 1, and next messaging engine, blue cluster .001, that is dedicated to run on the second server, and the third messaging engine, sequence 002, that is dedicated to run only on the server 3. This is no ME is able to fail over in this case. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 9. This table in this slide number 9 gives exactly what we said, and each messaging engine is able to run on this on that specific server. And in the preferred servers list also, for each messaging engine, it is listed as server 1 only. For 001 and for 000, server 1 is the preferred servers list. And for the next ME001, server 2, and 002, server 3. And the behavior is there is no failover or failback options for this policy. And it ME runs only on the preferred servers. So if server 1 is down, the 000 messaging engine is also down. This is the behavior of the scalability configuration. And next, let's move on to next slide, slide number 10. HA availability scalability configuration. Here, this policy combines the previous two HA, high availability and scalability configuration. Use this policy when you require both high availability and scalability features in your environment. This configuration ensures that there is a messaging engine for each server in that cluster, and that messaging engine has a failover location. So we are getting the benefits of the both scalability and high availability policies here. And the pros of this configuration is it improves the performance, and we have the failover option, and better accessibility to the application due to local messaging engine to the application, and failover option, and also you can configure the failback option also. And also very good for the workload management WLM. And the cons are message order is no longer guaranteed due to the workload balancing of messages across the queue partitions. And this is very complex than the previous two configurations. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 11. This is the graphical representation of the high availability and the scalability configuration. When you choose this one, this is how the messaging engines and the behavior you would expect to see. Here, it created three messaging engines. And the first messaging engine is dedicated to first server one on server one, the vertical rectangle. And the next ME001, that is dedicated to the server 2, and 002 messaging engine is dedicated to the server 3, but each messaging engine have an instance of the failover in the other server, in one available server. So these are the benefits, and the first messaging engine row has dedicated server, which is server 1, and if something happens wrong, the 000 messaging engine can fail over to the server 2, which is marked as 2. Let's move on to next slide number 12. Okay. For example, if first ME000, which is running on the server 1, and if something happens wrong to the server 1 and it is unable to continue messaging engine on that server, then HA manager failover to server 2, just now what I said. If server 1 is back, then the messaging engine failover to the server 1, because that is dedicated preferred servers list and in the top one. So each messaging engine is assigned to a specific server. By configuring it to run only on those servers in this list of preferred servers, if you see the preferred servers list for the first messaging engine 000, the preferred servers are server 1 and 2. And for the next messaging engine, row number 2, 001, the preferred servers are 2 and 3. And for the last messaging engine 002, the preferred servers are 3 and 1. So each server in the first is the first preferred server for one messaging engine, and the second one is just the failover instance of this one. And this creates the circular relationship between the servers. And this is how you get the configuration when you use the high availability with the scalability policy. And here you can also see that one, the last column, only run on preferred servers. These are the only preferred servers. So the first messaging engine cannot fail over to the server 3, and the 001 messaging engine cannot fail over to the server 1. This is table gives what happens if something happens wrong to the dedicated servers, and also the failback options. Let's move on to next slide number 13. This is just now I discussed about the failover, how it happens, but let me give you a little bit more details how the failover and failbacks works in case of JVM and other failures happened in case of messaging clusters. Here in this slide, each messaging engine is dedicated as, each messaging engine is represented as a, active messaging engine is represented as a solid block, and the standby instances are represented as a dotted blocks. So in case of, if you see the top left side diagram, the ME1 is running on server 1, ME2 running on server 2, and ME3 running on server 3. And in case if server 1 is down, or something happens, crashed, or something happened wrong, then the message ME1 is failed over to server 2. And it gets the lock on the data store immediately and started running on this server 2. So as I told you, due to these failover failback options, the data store or file store, whatever is that one, the message store you are using, those should be accessible, must be accessible from all the JVMs wherever the failover failback happens. So if you see the bottom diagram here, the number 3, figure 3, here what happens is the server 1 is back and running, and server 2 is stopped or something crashed or something happened. So in that case, what happens is ME1 is failed over back to the server 1, but ME2 is dedicated to server 2, and its failover location is server 3. So the ME2 is failed over to the server 3, and it started running on this server. So at any specific point of time in this configuration, any JVM can run maximum of 2 messaging engines. That's how the this high availability and scalability messaging configuration works. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 14. Okay, supported core group policies in ME clustering. There is some formatted issue here. Let's keep on. These are the supported core group policies in case of service integration. And the number one is the static one. The messaging engine in this case, if the core group policy is static, the messaging engine is restricted to that specific particular server. The messaging engine can run only on the server to which it is restricted. It cannot fail over or fail back, or it cannot do anything if server is crashed or down. For multiple messaging engines, this can be a useful configuration for workload sharing where the failover is not needed. This is the default default policy for the scalability configuration. The next one is the one of N with the no preferred servers. The messaging engine runs on the first available server and can fail over to any of the other servers in this cluster. It has no preference for any specific server. This is the default SIB policy. And the next one is one of N with the preferred servers. Messaging engine runs on the first server in the preferred servers list if that is available when the messaging engine is trying to start. It can fail over to the first server or second server in the preferred servers list that is available at the time of the failover. In the earlier a server in the list of the preferred servers list, the stronger the preference for that server. For example, if you have server 1, server 2, server 3, server 1 is at the top. If that server 1 is available, then it always, HM manager always runs the messaging engine on server 1. The next one is one of N with preferred servers and failback setting. So what happens is in this case it tries to run the preferred messaging engine at the preferred servers, and if you have one preferred servers and remaining are the normal ones, if ME is running on the preferred server and failed over to the normal one, and if the preferred server is up and returned back and up and running, then HM manager fail back that messaging engine to that preferred server. And the next one is one of N with preferred servers and preferred servers only listing. So in this case, this is a little tricky one. If you configure preferred servers only setting, then make sure that all the times you have at least one standby instance of JVM so that HA manager can fail over the messaging engine. So if, for example, if you configured only one server as the preferred server, and you also configured as the run the messaging engine in the preferred servers only, if something happens wrong and it needs to fail over to the other servers, no preferred server is available, then it won't fail over. This is one of the reasons sometimes messaging engine don't fail over, because you don't have the preferred servers and you configured to run the messaging engine only in the preferred servers. And the last one is no operation policy. This is intended primarily when you use an external HA framework, for, such as IBM HACMP. This is outside the WebSphere control. If you choose this one, please make sure that your HACMP are outside of the WebSphere. Some HA configuration is monitoring the messaging engines and take the appropriate action when it need to fail over. And outside of the service integration bus, there are two other core group policies, all active and MRN. Service integration bus don't support these two core group policies, all active and M of N, because at any specific time, a messaging engine can run on only one JVM. Next to slide number 15. Policy settings for the ME clusters. So this is the screenshot where you can go and configure your preferred servers. And also the preferred servers is in the right side of the under the additional properties. And here you can also configure the failback, and you can also configure the preferred to run the messaging engine only in the preferred servers list. Here you can also see there is a in the bottom left rectangle, you see is allow timer. Just I want to give just for informational purposes only. So what that means is if you configured if you this value specifies the interval of time in seconds at which HA managers checks the health of the active group members and also the health of the messaging engine. The default value is 120 seconds, so for every 120 seconds, HA manager checks the health of the messaging engine and also the servers. Moving to next slide number 16. How to find out where the messaging engine is running in the cluster? If you are trying to see the messaging engine, where messaging engine is running, in what server, if you have 10 different servers in the cluster, and if you would like to know, hey, where in what server, specific server my messaging engine is running, you are unable to see that information from the service integration bus panels. You have to come here, you have to see from these core group panels. In the top of this screen, I have mentioned how to navigate to this screen. And here, for example, I have three servers in the cluster, and server 6, 7, and 8. My messaging engine is running on the server 7. So if you see the wherever the messaging engine is running, you see the green mark, and remaining are just a standby instance. So, at this point, I have covered all the key configuration things and also the key points you need to know about the SIP configuration in clustered environment. Let's move on to next slide number 17. From here onwards, let's talk about ME failover issues and their likely and possible solutions. We try to gather as many as scenarios based on the whatever the PMRs we get from customers, and we try to add all those 99% of the ME failover cases. You would see the reason and fail solutions in this from here onwards. So here, active messaging engine ME lost the data store connection and is unable to get a new lock on the data store after failover. So sometimes we do see connection issues between the messaging engine server and all, and where the message store data store is located. That is the database machine. During that time frame, if there is a connection error occurs, at that time frame, we do see this type of pattern of messages in the system out log. Here, the interesting and key message is J2CA0056I. This is a very pretty generic message, ID message, but there are a variety of reasons for this message. There could be a networking or JVM is hang out of memory or database is down, or it could be there are different variety of reasons for this J2CA0056I. So after after we see the 0056I message is logged, then the SIB messages we see CWSIS 1594 message, which indicates the ME loss, the database connection. And after that one, ME tries to get the lock on the data store, and it is unsuccessful to get the lock. And finally, it throws the exception CWSID 0046E. Oh, I would like to tell one more tip for you. These CWSIS message prefix is specifically for the data store. And CWSID message prefix is specifically for the status of the messaging engine. For example, if you want to find out, hey, what is going on for my messaging engine, you can search in all those clusters, JVMs, you can search for the CWSID message. But 0016I is the one, it gives the actual, what is the exact status. So after we throw the CWSID 0046E exception, the HR manager immediately notifies that, hey, there is something happened wrong, and the JVM is unable to run this messaging engine. And what happens is, in case of WASP version 7 and 8, it tries to fail over the messaging engine to the other server. And for the next keep alive, if messaging engine don't recover the lock from the data store, it stops the messaging engine, and at that is alive parameter is expired, then it terminates the JVM. This behavior is expected in WebSphere version 7 and 8 only. And you will see these messages, hey, system out, panic, and emergency shutdown called. These are the two messages you see before JVM is crashed. This is the likely reason for this one is messaging engine loss, database connection, and by default in WASP 7 and 8, we terminate the JVM, and HR manager moves the messaging engine to the other JVM. But in case of WebSphere version 8.5, there are very good new features in version 8.5, not only this one, but also there are some other very excellent features. And in WASP 8.5, what we do is it just stops the precise stop of the messaging engine and failover to the other available server. So in WASP version 8.5 applications, if there are any other applications running on the JVM, it can continue its work. But in case of version 7 and 8, the whole JVM is terminated. This is one of the drawbacks in the previous versions of the WASP. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 18. This is the continuation of the previous slide. Just now I said in version 7 and 8 we had JVM termination when ME lost the database connection. The reason behind this one is from WASP version 7 and above, we added one custom parameter, sip.messagestore.jdbc failover on DB connection loss. By default, this value is 2. And what happens is whenever there is a database connection loss, we terminate the messaging engine and also terminate the JVM. This we do because in order to maintain the data integrity. So in order to maintain the data integrity. And this is the default value is 2, and this is the expected behavior. By configuring this custom parameter, you can control the behavior of the messaging engine when ME lost the database connection. This is the key thing. You can configure what you need, what your messaging behavior when it lost the data store connection. If you set to 2, this will terminate the JVM. And if you set to false, what happens is messaging engine continues to run and accept it work. And periodically, based on your other parameters, retry interval and retry that one, those other remaining SIP parameters, it keep on trying to get the lock on the data store. If application continues to be submitted at this time, if backend data store is not available and application is keep on submitting the data request to the messaging engine, when data store is not available, you can expect some unpredictable results and leave the messaging engine in an inconsistent state. When the data store connection is restored, then you can see some inconsistent state or sometimes unpredictable results. So we suggest to use the default behavior 2 parameter, even though if the JVM is crashed. This is what you need to know about this parameter, and you can configure your messaging engine behavior when you lost the data store connection. Let's move on to next slide number 19. Continuation of the same thing, but this is the graphical representation I pasted here. When in the top diagram, ME is running on that, ME1 is running on server 1, and server 2 and server 3 has the standby instances, and these standby instances status is joint state, and in server 1 ME status is started. If database connection lost or something happens, HA manager move the messaging engine to the next server. This is just for the graphical representation information. And let's move on to next slide number 20. At this point, HA manager failed over the messaging engine to the other available cluster member based on whatever is you have configured in this your core group policies. Here, the messaging engine 1 lost the connection to the database, but on the data store side, still the lock is still available. And it uses the voice socket is still open and waiting for the remote side. And here, once the failover is happened from the other JVM instance, it tries to get the lock on the data store. So as on the data store side, the lock still exists and voice socket is open. And when the standby instance is trying to get the lock, and it failed because already other instance holds the holding the lock, and that is a stale lock, but still it's in the data store. So in this circumstances, what we see is for the initial 15 minutes after the failover, it keep on trying to get the lock, and it throws these two sequence of messages, number of messages, 1538 and 1593. I'm trying to get the messaging engine lock, and I'm failing. These messages are, you see tons of these messages during that first 15 minutes of the failover things. So above pattern continues for 15 minutes if ME is unable to get the lock on the data store. After 15 minutes, HA managers disable the messaging engine in this server and moves the messaging engine to the next available servers in that cluster. Why the messaging engine is not able to get the lock is because the old stale orphan lock still exists on the SIB owner table, and also the OS socket is still open. That is the root cause why we are not messaging engine new instance is not able to get the lock. And the next one is, let's move on to next slide number 21. This is the conclusion. Here, if you see the highlighted blue one, as long as this socket and data store lock remains in place, new instance of the messaging engine will not be able to acquire new lock and resume its functionalities. Somehow, in order to fix this issue, this is one of the major issues we get most of the times from customers. And somehow, because the old stale orphan lock still exists on the data store side, what we need to do is we need to close the voice socket so that once the voice socket is closed, then the lock from the data store is automatically removed. So somehow we need to close the data store lock, data store lock by closing the voice socket. This is the voice socket, the default keep alive interval is 2 hours. This 2 hours, if we don't do anything in the normal behavior, it keep on for next 2 hours that voice socket is open and data store lock won't be removed. So these are the solution for this problem is these are the three possible solutions. The first one is database admin can manually remove the lock from the SIB owner table. And the second one is restart the first one needs the manual intervention. And the second one is restart the database server. Most of the time, this is not a good option because not only SIB, but also many other applications could have using this same database server. So this is not feasible for most of the times. And the only the leftover and permanent solution for this one is configure the database server to clean the stale orphaned sockets. This is the best option and this is the permanent option, permanent solution for this type of problem. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 21. Sorry, 22. Solution for this, as I discussed, the solution for this problem is to set the TCP keep alive. By default, the TCP keep alive has the default value is 2 hours. If you are using specifically for VAS version 7 and 8, this is a very good solution for this type of problems. So the TCP keep alive has two main benefits. It can detect the invalid connections and also invalid connections and also the inactive remote and is active or not. So we need to the default value of the TCP keep alive is 2 hours. We have to configure in such a way to reduce this 2 hours to a almost 5 to 10 minutes. So that the voice socket is closed and the stale orphaned lock from the data store is removed. So you can set 3 minutes or 5 minutes or approximately 5 to 10 minutes. But if you are using so less time, make sure that this TCP keep alive won't affect like the other parameters, transaction timeout or connection timeout issues and that type of for those type of settings. The default value is 180 seconds. So keep in mind those settings and adjust this TCP keep alive to 5 to 7 or 5 to 10 minutes. And once the keep alive time is expired, then it removes the lock from the voice socket and ultimately it removes the lock from the SIB data store, SIB owner table. And in VAS version 8.5, a new locking mechanism is implemented and that solves the problem without need for the setting of this TCP keep alive. And just you need to enable, there is a new checkbox available in the admin console, restrict the long-running locks. When you enable this one, these stale connections will be automatically removed when there is a abnormal shutdown happen to the messaging engine. And also let me tell you one more good thing of the 8.5. As I mentioned that the restrict long-running locks, the messaging engine holds the ownership of the database as long as it is active and processing. At the moment the messaging engine goes down or stop processing of the messages, the ownership is lost, and another instance can get the lock on the message store. this is how the 8.5 we have enhanced this good feature. And the bottom line is in order to fix this one in VAS version 7 and 8, you need to enable the TCP keep alive. Let's move on to next slide, slide number 23. These are the different setting of the keep alive for different settings for each OS is you have to follow different commands. The process is different. Before configuring these TCP keep settings, these commands, please make sure with your admin that, hey, these are still valid or if there are any changes in the new OS levels for these operating systems. At this point, I will turn over the presentation to Tai. Sorry, I took it a bit longer time than I should. Tai, it's now yours from now onwards to the end of the presentation.
Thanks, Shanti. Hello, everyone. This is Tai. And, Kathy, if we could, before we move on to the next slide, if you go back to slide 23 for a second, these are the keep alive settings that you would use on the database server. You don't have to set these on the WebSphere server. This is set on the database side. And you really only need to do this if you're using a version of WAS that's earlier than 8.5. 8.5 has the new restrict long-running locks feature that Chauncey just mentioned that eliminates the need to do any of this. But for those of you that are using older versions, you can set this. And there is a WebSphere technical exchange presentation I gave a couple years ago that goes into this in great detail. So it's out there if you want to know all the ugly details. But basically, this will solve most of your bad failover problems. So if we can move to the next slide, slide 24, please. Okay, well, we're going to talk about failovers now from a little bit different perspective. Chauncey talked about the configuration possibilities and options and so on. I'm going to talk a little bit about this from a troubleshooting perspective. Most of the time when a failover occurs, the failover itself usually works correctly. The problem or the big question typically is why did it happen? So we'll talk about that a little bit. Some things you'll want to look for in the logs. So let me read here and then I'll comment a little bit. It says when the JVM-ME is running on is hung or abnormally terminated, the ME is also terminated along with the JVM. In this case, the HA manager will fail over the ME to some other available cluster member, depending on the core group policies. And also remember that the lock on the data storage side still exists if you're running WAS 7 or 8. This is what Chauncey just kind of talked about. In the failover server, the ME tries to get a new lock on the data store. If the previous orphaned lock is not released, this ME instance won't be able to get a new lock. The keep alive will fix that for you. As previously mentioned, lowering the keep alive to 5 minutes or so removes the OS level lock and the SIB owner table lock, and allowing the new ME instance to get the lock, complete startup, and resume messaging functions. That's just a brief summary of everything Chauncey was talking about. And again, with 8.5, we have changed the locking mechanism so that you don't have to go through all of this keep alive business. So it's a much more efficient way to do things. We also, if there's some reason that the messaging engine needs to be failed over, in 8.5, one of the other things that we're doing is we're no longer shutting down the entire JVM. We just shut down the messaging engine. So it's just much cleaner and a much better way of doing things. So if you go to 8.5, I highly recommend you enable the long-running locks feature. It will save you a lot of trouble. Next slide, slide 25, please. And by the way, before I get to this, we're kind of hammering this locking issue with the database because it happens a lot. We see that very frequently. So if there's one thing you take out of this in terms of addressing failover problems or scenarios, that's the one thing you'll want to focus on because it's omnipresent. It happens to almost everybody at some point in time. But we do see some other issues occasionally. One of those is locking issues with NFS 3 file system. NFS 3 is an older version of NFS, the network file system. Since then, NFS 4 has been released, and I'm sure there'll be some updates to that in the future as well. But NFS 3 had locking problems, file locking problems. In other words, it would be possible for a file to be locked with no associated process. And so let me read through this here. It says if you're using a file store instead of a data store, you should be aware of the following items regarding failovers. During the failover, customers who are using NFS 3 file system to store the file store files may see locking issues after the failover, and the new instance of the ME may be unable to get the lock on the file store. You may see this exception during ME startup, and it says very clearly, CWSIS 1579E, the file store's log file, which is one of the three files in the file store, is locked by another process. In other words, you have a messaging engine that's running, it's using a file store, and then for whatever reason, a failover occurs, and so the messaging engine will restart typically on another server in the cluster, and it will try to get a new lock on the log file in the file store. And you might see this message. If you do, and you're running NFS version 3, then NFS version 3 itself is likely to be the culprit. NFS reading on NFS 3 file system has some locking issues, and we suggest that our customers use NFS 4. The IBM, we do have a tool to help you with this, by the way. The IBM file system locking protocol test for WebSphere application server is at that link. And what that tool does is it tells you whether or not your file system has the locking mechanism that we would prefer. I'll comment more on that in a second. The NFS file system recommendations for WebSphere application server are listed in the second link. We don't explicitly say in there that you can't use NFS 3, but we do explicitly recommend that you use NFS version 4. So version 3 can be used, but if you run into problems, it's likely due to the locking mechanism in NFS 3. NFS 4 uses sort of a leaf-based and polling system, file system locking mechanism. And so it's much more efficient, and it solves one of the big things in NFS 4 was to solve this locking issue. And if you go out and do research on NFS 3 versus NFS 4 and locking, you'll see there's plenty of hits on that. So moving on to the next slides. Oh, by the way, if you run into this, depending on the operating system, supposedly you can manually unlock this, unlock the file. I've seen that done once or twice. I don't know all the details about that, but it is possible to manually unlock the file. So there is an easy way out of this if you run into this, but you can avoid it entirely by just using NFS 4. Okay, next slide, slide 26, please. Okay, another reason you might run into failover troubles is if the HA manager is disabled. Now, this doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's bad news. And what you'll see is the HMGR0010I, I meaning informational message. The high availability manager has been disabled. Services that rely on the high availability manager might not work as expected. Well, that certainly would impact service integration bus because we're very reliant on it. So the rule is, do not disable high availability manager. It's required for failovers to work correctly. Now, again, this doesn't happen very frequently. It's pretty rare, actually. And usually it's at the bottom of the list of things to check. But know that it is possible to disable all of this, and it will completely disable failovers. And it says, by default, every cluster member has an equal opportunity to host and run the ME. If you disable HA manager in some ME cluster, members HA manager is unable to fail over the ME to that server because the HA manager is disabled. So this just reiterates the fact that if you turn this off, you can forget about proper failover. It's not going to work. And the screenshot here shows you where to enable that. It doesn't really say HA manager there, but that's what you want to enable. And you'll notice that the is alive timer is set by default to 120 seconds. That means that's the frequency with which the high availability manager checks the health of various services, including messaging engines. You can reduce that to something shorter if you want a little bit faster response time on failovers, but most customers find that 120 seconds is just fine. And moving on to slide 27, please. Okay, we don't see this very often, but it's a real head-scratcher. It takes a while to sort this out to realize what's going on, but it is possible to have cluster members in different core groups. And so let me read here. It says, in very rare scenarios, we've seen ME cluster members in different core groups. and no core group bridge is defined between the core groups. In this case, the high availability manager is unable to fail over to the other ME server, which is in the other core group, because there's no communication bridge between these two core groups. It's always better to keep all ME cluster members in the same core group. It ensures a smooth ME failover will occur, and it's a better system management practice, and also improves failover performance. So the bottom line is keep all of your servers in the ME cluster in the same core group. Don't separate them out. You can, but you then have to configure a bridge, and you have to make sure that that's correct, and it will impact performance. So better to just keep them all in the same core group. We very, very rarely see this problem, but it's worth mentioning because it's one of the possibilities, and if you don't know about it ahead of time, it'll take forever to figure out what's going on. If you do know about it ahead of time, like now, it's something that you can, you know, mark off your checklist pretty quickly. And let's move on to slide 28, please. no preferred servers are running. Okay. Let me read this first. It says, if you configure the preferred servers only core group policy option, make sure that you have at least one preferred server available as a standby instance at all times. When the ME is unable to continue on the server where it was running and needs to fail over to the other server, if no preferred server is available, you choose to run the ME preferred servers only, then ME failover won't happen. Again, this isn't very common, but it's something that can happen, and some customers do use preferred servers. And preferred servers meaning that you could pin an ME, or messaging engine, to run on a specific server if it's running. But if you have a preferred servers-only configuration and none of those servers are running, failover is not going to happen. And so you can see from the screenshot here the preferred servers-only option is checked. So if you do that, make sure your servers are running. Next slide, slide 29, please. Okay, issues with core group policies. Core group policies can be a little tricky. So let me read through this. It says, in most cases, the default predefined messaging engine policies support frequently used cluster configurations. High availability is enabled by default. In other words, if you create a cluster of two or more servers and just add it to the bus and take all of the defaults, it'll be highly available automatically by default. You don't have to do anything extra or special. But there could be some scenarios, such as modifications you make to comply with business requirements, where you create a core group policy that prevents ME failovers. This actually can be done. Static configuration is the messaging engine can run only on the server to which it is restricted and cannot fail over to any other server in the cluster. I will tell you, I've seen customers do that. It's rare. I don't necessarily think there's a great rationale for doing that, but some customers want to do it that way. The other one, which is the better one, is one of N with preferred servers and preferred servers only settings. If no preferred servers are available, it cannot fail over to any other server in the cluster, but at least you have failover capability. So if you're using preferred servers, again, make sure they're running. And lastly, no operation. Messaging engine is managed by an external high availability framework, so it's outside of WebSphere control. This pretty much never happens, but it's possible to do this, but I wouldn't worry about it. The main thing, though, is that core group policies are very tricky to work with. And so when you add a cluster to a bus and you get the options that Johnson went through earlier in this presentation, where you have high availability, scalability, or combinations of those, make your choices wisely there, and then you won't have to mess around with the policies later and change them. And 99.9% of the time, if you just make your final choices then and there, when you add the cluster to the bus, everything will be fine. Okay, next slide, slide 30, please. Okay, one of the main reasons for failovers is networking issues. And by that, here's what I mean. When you have servers running in a cluster, those servers are talking to each other. They're having private conversations with each other. And part of the code that allows that is DCS code. And when the servers are not able to talk to each other, sometimes because They're on different nodes, and there might be hardware between them, networking hardware like routers and so on. Or there's just a bad connection between the physical nodes. If those servers lose that connection to each other, then that conversation stops. And at that point, the high availability manager jumps in and tries to solve the problem. But you can run into trouble here. Let me start reading here. It says DCS views, and that's what we're talking about mainly here is DCS. It says DCS views are groups of servers that see each other and are communicating with each other. And sometimes servers may get unexpectedly removed from a view, and this can cause problems. This can result in differences in views between the servers and the JVM where the HA coordinator is running. Let me explain a little bit about that. Some of you may be familiar with database views, where you can restrict what a user sees when a select call, for example, or select queries run. You can restrict or configure the result set that's returned. Well, this is kind of the same way. DCS views, there's nothing restrictive about them, but what they are is they're sort of a picture that each server has of other servers. In other words, it knows a DCS view is basically a list of the servers that this server knows about. And so each server has its own view, and ideally everybody should match up. Everybody knows about everybody else. So there's obvious everybody's connected to each other, everybody's happy. But if you run into a connectivity problem between servers, then views in one server will differ from views in another server. And that's when things can go downhill. We call this view instability. So I'll continue reading here. It says, due to this view instability, the HA manager may be unable to find a suitable JVM for an ME failover. And the reasons for this are, we have a little, these are basically the reasons that a DCS view issue can arise. Check your logs for any of these high availability manager messages. Look in the logs for frequent changes in DCS views. And so you're going to be looking for these three or four DCS messages here. And you'll see the DCS view messages are very obvious in a system out log. It's very clear that views are changing. It could be firewall issues. It could be networking issues. It could even be JVM hangs. If a JVM hangs and becomes unresponsive, and I mean completely unresponsive to a health check, then for all intents and purposes, it's no longer part of the view, and it will get removed from a view, and then that's when trouble starts. Now, sometimes CPU starvation issues occur when the HA coordinator is running, so when that happens, if you think that might be happening, look for these HA manager 0152W, which is a warning message. And check for any hung thread messages in the failover server or any server for that matter. And again, you have a warning message, a 605W. So anytime you have any kind of weird, unexpected failovers that occur or try to occur, take a look at this list. Go through this list. Check your system out logs for these messages. And apart from these messages, the one thing that you might see that's not listed here, We mention it as networking issues, but you might see socket exceptions. And if you see socket exceptions in association with changing DCS views, that's usually a good indication that something is not good. And most of the time, the socket exceptions, or a lot of times, will indicate the IP addresses and so on, or host names involved, so that's very helpful. But networking instability drives a lot of what you're seeing on this page here. Okay, next slide, slide 31, please. Okay, when there are problems with DCS views, the HA manager may not be certain where the ME is running. And as a result, it may try to start a second copy of the messaging engine, the same messaging engine. This second copy will fail to start because it will attempt to get a lock on the SIB tables that are already locked by the copy that was already running. This is a fairly common scenario. The slide that we just looked at showed you various causes of changing DCS views. And like I said, in the logs, it's really obvious when DCS views are changing. And you'll see messages about servers being removed from the view. It's very obvious. We'll get to that here in a second. But when you see that, the HA manager it tries to play things safe. The HA manager is looking at all this, and it says, okay, we've got if DCS instability starts and there's inconsistencies between views from one server to the next, then the HA manager may decide to try to start the messaging engine on some server that doesn't have a messaging engine running on it. And it's going to do that because it wants to make sure that you're still able to do JMS functionality. But it's not positive that there's already a copy of that messaging engine running somewhere else. So just playing it safe, basically, saying, okay, well, just to be sure, I'll go ahead and try to start this ME. But what happens here and what the problem is that that messaging engine is already running on some server. The problem isn't with the messaging engine running. The problem is with connectivity between servers. And so when the HA manager tries to start a second copy of that messaging engine, that second copy is going to fail, because it's trying to get a lock on either the data store or file store that the original copy already owns. And so it's going to fail with some kind of locking failure, and that's going to put a lot of error messages into your logs. So one of the things you want to look for, if you see a failover occur with lots of DCS view messages and stuff like that, see if the same messaging engine is trying to start on a different server, if it's already running on one of the servers. If it is, the problem isn't really the messaging engine. The problem is the DCS view instability, which is usually a networking issue. So there's sort of a chain of events here that you need to look for. And it's rather tedious in the logs. I'm not going to whitewash this. You have to spend time looking at the logs. Which brings me to the second point here. It says, if you see a second instance of a messaging engine that is trying and failing to start, check for DCSV type warning messages before the failover started. And before the failover started, that's crucial right there. The DCS messages will precede all of this failover activities. It's very easy to get distracted by the failover itself, but look at what happened just before the failover started. That's the key to success. Such as DCSV8104W messages indicating that one or more servers has been removed from the view. If one of the messaging servers was removed from the view before the ME startup attempt, then that is the cause of the failover. That's what you want to look for. This kind of situation is usually driven by networking problems, so check for socket exceptions and other TCP-related errors in the logs. We see this very frequently, so I know I'm kind of hammering this point, but it happens frequently, and so it's definitely worth knowing about. Okay, next slide, slide 32, please. Okay, mixed WebSphere versions. This doesn't happen very often, but if you're planning on doing an upgrade, you'll want to know about this ahead of time. This happens in environments where you have multiple nodes, physical machines. Messaging engine failover is not supported for mixed version clusters. For example, you have WAS8 and WAS7 servers as ME cluster members, different versions on different nodes, okay? So you got one machine with WAS8, another machine with WAS7. You have a horizontal cluster that goes across those. That's going to be a problem. Keep reading here. It says a messaging engine that is hosted on WebSphere application server version 8 cannot fail over to a server that is hosted on a different WebSphere application server version. If you have a cluster bus member that consists of a mixture of version 8 and version 7 servers, you must ensure that the high availability policy is configured to prevent this type of failover. In other words, failing over your messaging engine from the version 7 machine to the version 8 machine or vice versa. And it says, to prevent failover of a version 8 messaging engine to a server on a different version, configure the high availability policy for the messaging engine so that the cluster is divided into one set of servers for version 8 and another set of servers for other versions, and the version 8 messaging engine is restricted to the servers at version 8 only. Then same thing applies with version 7 and 8.5. Again, this doesn't happen very often, and it's been my experience that when customers upgrade their environments, they do it across the board so that everything's at the same version, because it's just a lot easier to manage things that way. But on the off chance that you do have mixed versions, know about this problem ahead of time. Failover from one version to another is not going to work. Okay, moving on to slide 33, please. Okay, summary. Real quick, as you saw with Jonty's portion of this presentation, that WebSphere Application Server supports a variety of HA and failover options. And again, failover by high availability is there by default, if you just take the default config. We usually recommend HA configuration with multiple servers in your messaging cluster. Core group policies allow you to control where messaging engines run and what servers they fail over to. There are many possible reasons for a failover, but checking the WAS system out logs will usually provide a clear indication why the failover occurred. That's the last 8 or 10 slides we just went through. And failovers are usually caused by disconnections between a messaging engine and its message store or DCS view problems. Those are the two big hitters. And we went through those in a fair amount of detail. So if a failover occurs and you want to know why, those are the two things I'd look at first. Number one, did the messaging engine lose its connection to its data store or its file store? Or if that looks good, and it'll be obvious because you'll see a panic message in the logs that John C. pointed out earlier. Or do you see a whole bunch of DCS activity right before the failover? If you do, it's probably a networking issue or a connectivity issue of some sort between servers in the messaging cluster, and that can drive a failover as well.
Thank you, John C. and Ty, for a great presentation. We had quite a bit of activity in the web conference. The first question seems to come in here from Abdul.
At 11:41, Abdul asked, WebSphere application server allowed me to choose any server in the cell to be a preferred server. The answer for that question is, yes, in my machine also I noticed that one. WAS in that specific panel WAS allowed to listed out all the servers whatever available in that complete cell. Even though if I go to the SIB specific policy, messaging engine policy, still I see all different servers, even though those servers are outside of that cluster members. Even though if you choose that one, it won't make any difference because HA manager don't consider that one as a for the failover. I agree that one. This need to be. We can ask development team or level three if we can make appropriate changes to the panel. Because, and also I would like to add that one, this screen is common for many components like HA manager and other components also uses core group policies and this preferred servers. That is the reason this is showing up all the servers in that cell are showing up in that screen. I guess that could be the reason why it is showing up all the servers in that list, even though those are outside of the messaging clusters. We can make an improvement in that screen.
Is the next question seems to be from Mahesh. Is the health check for ME resource intensive? Can we go less than 60 seconds in a prod like EMV?
Jeff, I can answer that one.
Okay, thank you.
The default value for the health check is 120 seconds, so the HA manager will basically run an is alive. That's the name of the method. Is alive. Call against the messaging engine every 120 seconds just to make sure the messaging engine is up and running, there's no problems, and so on. And you saw that in one of the screenshots in this presentation. If you want to shorten that to 60 seconds, perhaps, or even shorter than that, I don't think there will be a problem. It will add resource overhead, of course. The more often you do something, the more resources required to do it. But it's a small thing, so I don't think it'll cause a problem. I've never heard of it causing a problem, so it should be fine to reduce that to 60 seconds or even something less. That might speed up failovers for you a little bit if you find that 120 seconds is too long. And that's it. Kathy, I think there was another question here about unpredictable results with failovers that Jonty kind of alluded to earlier in the presentation. That was asked by Mahesh. Let me comment on that for a second. And this is something we get asked about quite a bit, actually. Let me give you a scenario so you understand what I'm talking about here. Let's say that you have a messaging engine that's running, and it's running in a cluster with two servers, for example. And that messaging engine has a valid working connection to its data store. In other words, its database tables. And then let's say that suddenly that connection is terminated for some unknown reason. The reason doesn't really matter. The question or the concern is, well, what happens after that? Well, by default, if you're running versions 7 or 8 of WebSphere, what will happen is that when the messaging engine loses its connection to the database, it knows that it lost the connection. It's smart. It kind of figures that out pretty quickly. And it will set a flag. And when the high availability manager does its next health check call, which should be pretty soon, it's going to see that flag, and it's going to determine that there's a really bad problem with the messaging engine. So what it does is it terminates the server with that panic message, that emergency shutdown message that Jonsi showed you earlier in the presentation. And so that server gets shut down. It's terminated. The JVM is actually stopped, and the messaging engine is moved to the other server in the cluster, and it starts up there. So the question about uncertainty or unpredictable results revolves around this shutting down the JVM business. Why do we do that? Well, imagine if we didn't do that. What if the server continued to run, which means the messaging engine continues to run? Well, the default setting for service integration bus is assured persistence for all of its messages. So in other words, every time you send a message to a queue or a messaging engine, that message has to be written into the data store. It's recorded there. So that way we have it available if we need to do some sort of recovery. Well, that's all well and good while things are working, but if you don't have a connection to the message store, there's nowhere to store that message. So while you may be able to send it to a queue because the messaging engine is still running, we have no way of making a copy or a backup copy of that message into the data store because we have no connection to the data store. So that means that you now have an assured persistent message, which means a message we should never discard or lose or throw away for any reason, that's sitting on a queue that's not recorded or backed up anywhere. Well, what if you send 10,000 of those messages, and what if they're important credit card transactions or some other vital information? Well, now they're all sitting on the queue. They're not persisted anywhere. And what if the HA manager decides to go ahead and terminate the JVM for some other reason or something else happens and the JVM gets terminated? Or even the messaging engine, even if the JVM continues to run. Well, now you've lost all those messages, even though they were assured persistence. So rather than do that or run that risk, we decide to go ahead and shut the JVM down completely, move the messaging engine over to another server, and resume JMS messaging from there. It's more resource intensive. It takes a little more time. But if you value your data, that's the correct thing to do. Now, in WAS 8.5, we've changed that a little bit so that we now have the restrict long-running locks feature, which changes the locking mechanism we use so that if the messaging engine loses its connection to the data store, just as before, now, in WAS 8.5 with that feature enabled, it will be able to get a new fresh lock on the data store pretty much immediately. And there's no failover to another server necessary. The JVM doesn't shut down and so on. So it's much faster. It's much more efficient. And we won't lose any messages. So the unpredictability here is allowing the server to run after the connection has been lost and we can't get a new connection right away. With the restrict long-running locks feature in 8.5, we can get a connection right away or a new lock. Not so with older versions of WAS. So I hope that clarifies where the unpredictability comes in. And I know that shutting down the server when the messaging engine loses its connection to the database seems rather severe, and frankly, it is. However, it's for a good reason. If you value your data, it's the right thing to do, and that way we won't lose any of your messages. So I hope that answers the question. And I think that was the last question, I think.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation, and we hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Jonsi and Ty, for presenting. You all have a great day.